and welcome to How to Be Successful with me, Vicky Paul. I'm an intuitive artist, energy healer, and author, and I'm on a mission to help you live with more joy, purpose, and meaning. How to Be Successful is a straight-talking, heartfelt, and enlightening podcast full of soul-centered wisdom, home truths, life-changing insights, and free-flowing conversations with some of the most inspiring, knowledgeable and honest voices in well-being, spirituality, self-love and personal development. It's a show for people who are no longer satisfied chasing society's version of success because they're ready to embrace their gifts and thrive on their own terms. Today I'm talking with Vanessa Simpkins. She's the CEO and founder of Take Your Power Back. And I loved our conversation. She's got such an amazing energy. And I'll just put it out there. There are some swear words. There's a few F-bombs in there. However, they're well placed. They're well placed. Vanessa has helped thousands of women in her career to not only master their inner game for confidence, but also around finances and helping them streamline their lives, streamline their businesses. She's been featured all over the media in America, and she's really passionate about teaching women how to overcome fear so that they can thrive and so that they can make informed choices about who they are, who they want to be, what relationships they want to be in, and leave those lousy jobs and actually live a life without being held back by fear or money. So sit back and enjoy Vanessa's conversation.
My journey began, like many women, I believe, with a massive wake-up call. For years, I was praying to God, you know, show me my purpose. I surrender. I will do it. At the time, I was selling mops and lint removers. Okay. Like how unglamorous. But that, you know, that job gave me kind of a platform to practice direct response marketing, clearing my energy and showing up and enrollment and sales. My first book is called From Bankrupt to Making $900 a Day Selling Mops. And at the same time, I was in a relationship with a beautiful man and couldn't really get out of the relationship. It was pretty toxic. I didn't know what I know today about, you know, trauma and how trauma in the body kind of forks out as a adaptive strategy, right? Narcissism or codependency, they're both adaptions, solutions to childhood trauma. So I was in a toxic relationship that turned quite violent one night in a hotel room, and I was thrown across the hotel room, and I opened up my eyes 2 inches from a big glass vase, and I thought, oh my God, like 2 more inches, I could have died. I got out to the taxi and I was like, God, why is this happening? And it was like a fucking booming voice, like you hear in the movies. So you can help women not fall into the same pattern. And then I started crying. I was bawling, not because of what had just happened, because of like, shit, this is not my purpose. I don't want to talk about this. I'm just going to run around with my safe little mop sales book. Don't ask me about, you know, emotional abuse or trauma, or like, don't make me go there, God. And so I actually sat on that story for 5 years. And when I was living in Hawaii, I had moved from Canada, where I'm originally born, to Hawaii, Kauai, Hawaii. What a magical, oh, it's like my soul home right there. Oh my God. And actually a psychic woman, I don't know, messaged me. She joined my email list. She said, hey, listen, you got this tiny little speedboat of a business, but you got this huge like oil tanker coming. So strap your titties on tight, you know, here we go. And I'm like, well, what is this? You're going to write another book. I said, no, I'm not. She goes, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. She said, yes, you are. I was like, oh crap. Is it this story about, you know, She's like, mm-hmm. And so Take Your Power Back now was the book. That story was birthed, came out within 6 weeks, became an instant bestseller, landed me on Fox, ABC, NBC television station. And I have, you know, been on a train ride, magic carpet ride, empowering women ever since. That was in 2014. I have the blessing of being kind of a safe container, safe space for women to share their shame, right? And then turn your lemons into lemonade. So there's like an internal alchemical process of your story and then, you know, sharing that with the world. And so I love helping women find their voice and then helping them get their purpose out into the world in a big way.
Why do you think
women need empowered? Why do you think we've found ourselves in a place where we have self-worth issues, we have shame?
Well, everyone's got trauma. Trauma is not actually like you were raped. Some people do, unfortunately, but it's not being held at gunpoint. You know, trauma can be just too much energy for the nervous system at a young age, and it gets trapped in the body. And, you know, we don't, instead of, or parents that weren't able to hear us or see us, and we can't reject our parents, so we reject ourselves.
For a lot of people, trauma, and the word trauma feels like something massive.
Yep.
And we don't consider the fact that whatever has happened for us, because I always believe it's for us rather than to us, is trauma. And also we carry generational trauma and often community trauma. Let's break it down. What do you mean by trauma?
So in perspective, the whole planet right now is really going through a massive collective awakening. And it is that transcendence of the ego, the separation from self. That's happening out there. It's happening in here. And it's a death. There is a death there. And it's scary. And there, you know, the death of this ego, the death of the small self, the death of the wounded inner child ego. You know, my mother was raised in the war. My grandmother was from Ukraine. I'm Ukrainian by heritage. My grandmother came from the Ukraine. She moved to France. She lost her first husband in the war. She met another man. They moved to Canada. My mother and her three sisters, and I can't imagine what kind of trauma that is. Okay. So you have parents who have their own trauma, and it's kind of, you know, intimacy, wholeness. You can't give somebody what you can't give yourself. And so there starts the tear, the rip. Trauma can simply be, we're not seen or validated, or you were shut down in your emotions. You can't have emotions. You're too much, you know, or entanglements within, you know, the dynamic. You know, I personally developed a rescuing tendency. I noticed this in my marriage. Oh my God, I married this guy. He's got three kids. I mean, the kids are amazing. But wow, did I ever have, and that's what I did in my family in order to keep love close to me, right? I'd abandon myself and go and rescue my mother and my father as well, because their relationship, they were, you know, at odds. So these unconscious patterns, there's the trauma. And trauma is simply too big of an emotion, too big, you know, and boom, it gets trapped. Shame, guilt, unworthiness. And we develop these coping mechanisms. They are solutions. This is the real important part, that we don't come with judgment and labels and this bad, this narcissist. You know, I used to talk like that. I'm kind of, gosh, let me correct that, you know, because I didn't know any better. Narcissism and codependency are basically two coping strategies or two solutions to trauma. So it's about understanding, and life becomes a magic carpet ride when we take the journey inside to find those places, to find those hurt places within ourselves that are incomplete, that are, and the only way we see them is in relationship. When we get triggered, right? We project this person, that beep, 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 this person that do that, you know, this person's a liar, this person's a that, you know, you point your finger at yourself, but we can't, we're all oneness, God conscious, and we can't see ourselves. And so the work is about, you know, really deep diving into owning those shadows, those projections, and reparenting, you know, becoming whole and complete, because we live in a reflectionary universe. We don't get what we want. We get what we are.
Mm-hmm. And why do you feel that so many people, because I speak from my own experience, and I used to be the fixer in the relationship. You know, I'd meet somebody, I'd turn them into the best version of them, and then the relationship would end, and then on to the next. So I kind of laugh about it now, and it was always square peg round holing, but I was always trying to fix, in my mind, fix in inverted commas, my partner rather than fix myself, and spent years knowing that what I was doing, being kind of aware of what was going on, but being unable to actually stop that pattern of behavior. Why do you feel we do that when we know that we're doing something that's not helpful? It's like avoidance technique, and we'd rather put up with the pain of the knowing of the familiar habitual negative patterns of traumatic behavior than actually go, enough's enough. Why do we do that? Why do we tend to follow that more negative energy than stopping and opening up to the positivity and the abundant energy that's there for us?
So great question. We give our power away when we identify with the ego. We are all beingness. We are all like the most incredible consciousness. Then we give our power away to this false self that wants to protect us using, you know, needing safety, approval, and control. Those are the three hooks. And my business actually started when I really did a deep dive into understanding what is resistance? What is this ego? What am I? And I did about 3 years of study into understanding and seeing that, what is this ego? How does it work? And people don't want to dive in to do, you know, healing trauma work. You can't really avoid it though. Most people, when it happens in their life, they get chronic illnesses. I had a huge pain in my leg. I had, my neck went out, like I was wiped out, couldn't really walk or move for 3-6 months at a time. This happened 3 years in a row when I was married. The trauma lives in your body. And so it can't be healed with the mind. It has to be felt. The emotions have to, you know, when a dog shakes, mm-hmm. You know, I have a little dog, Houdini, gets up and shakes. That's what the body wants to do. Mm-hmm. And it wants to shake out all of this deep unworthiness. And, you know, let's be honest, I've been a business coach, mostly a spiritual business coach, for the last decade. And this deep unworthiness that people carry, it touches love and money. And when I first saw this, probably the first year my business really, you know, did its first $1 million back in 2016. And I had, you know, hundreds of students. But the interesting thing is people were coming to me to learn about, I want a 10K in 30 days. I want to make some money. I want to launch my coaching business. Okay, that's great. And then psych, changed their whole life. A lot of, 4 of them got engaged and married that year. And I was like, what the heck is goony cuckoo, man? What is going on around here? And so this unworthiness really touches love and money. How much joy, how much pleasure, how much expansion, visibility can you have? Is it safe for you to have? So people think, well, I'm just going to start my business. You're going on a radical journey of personal development. You want to do personal development? Start a business, right? Because your relationships, you know, your business is that energetic reflection of you. And so people don't want to go inside and feel or shake out that unworthiness or this, you know, the abandonment from, you know, there's many different wounds people can have because people are just terrified of emotion. And the funny thing is, it like leaves in like 90 seconds. You know, most emotion passes in about 90 seconds.
Yeah.
But what we do in order not to feel that, mm-hmm. Well, to pick your poison, porn, smoking, drinking, I mean, addiction, this is where addictions come from, cutting, you know, I've certainly had my bout with addictions as well. Smoking, drinking, overeat food.
Tick, tick, tick.
Tick all the boxes to avoid, to numb out. And then what happens with our life is, and I have ragingly successful business. Where's that deep fulfillment? Because you numb out.
Yeah.
And so then you actually aren't really intimate with yourself. So you can't get that on the outside.
And I think a lot of people equate self-worth with material possessions, whether that is the salary, that is the house, the car.
I did that.
Oftentimes, you know, any story you hear of people who've made it, in inverted commas, whatever your benchmark of made it is, yeah, they can. It's the giddiness of getting there, but their levels of happiness aren't any better.
Well, you
at having reached it,
you can't fill a hole with a car or a house or money. That hole needs you to love it whole. And so when we get triggered, this is an opportunity, invitation to go inside and do that, because nothing will fill that hole. There's no amount of money or things.
How do you, if there's any kind of advice you can give to anyone who's listening, how would you start that process?
I would say one of the first things to do is to stop abandoning yourself.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, when we don't allow emotions or we judge our feelings instead of love them, we keep them in mind and they recreate. We're resisting them. What we resist persists. So even just simply saying yes, yes to whatever is happening. Yes, I feel angry. I love myself for feeling angry, or I'm so sad. I love myself for feeling sad. You could be in sobs, but not abandoning yourself to look good, to fit in, to belong. Just allow yourself to have the emotion, because what I've noticed is when we say yes to it, and say, most people say, no, don't come out, you know, and then you beat yourself, you beat yourself up. Why am I like this? Why is this happening? You're a human being.
I love that. It's actually, I feel like a energetic shift when you said that. Obviously, I interview lots of different people for this podcast, and a lot of people talk about allowing what comes up to come up and just say, yes, I honor that, I allow that. But actually saying, yes, I'm sad. Yes, I'm angry.
And I love myself for being sad.
Yeah, it feels like it takes the sting out of it.
It's okay to be sad. You have permission to be sad. You know, you should feel sad. As a matter of fact, this is normal, right? So not stifling that, and also not beating yourself up because we have emotions. And so what, you know, if we look at this at like David Hawkins, you know, level of emotional, you know, the scale of emotions, right? You have like shame, which is really low, like 20, it vibrates at like 20, and you go up the ranks. You have courage, which I think is at like, courage is where you can shift out of anger, sadness, frustration, lust, pride, and then boom, you hit courage, which now you're going to the higher realms of courageousness, acceptance, and peace, where, you know, all the visionaries, Mother Teresa, Jesus, who knows, the fucking Mayans, you know, they took off and left the freaking earth plane. Maybe they landed in Mount Shasta, who knows, at that realm. So we're moving through these lower vibrations into higher realms. And I studied for many years this release technique, and I still practice that. It changed my life. And learning how to say yes, love the feelings, and release them and let them go and stop. That's how the ego and the resistance, we see this in business all the time. People have these great ideas. They sign up for these courses, and or they buy the Facebook ads course, or they get a website. I'm going to really do this. And psych, here comes, it's not safe. Watch out. You know, your father failed at this, or your mother, you know. If you make too much money, the government will get you, or, you know, your husband will leave you, or whatever story, all these stories, it's all shit from the past. So I've been fascinated, obsessed, and just really passionate about holding safe space for women to look at themselves and give them the tools to kind of go and excavate and explore. And, you know, when we heal shame is when we're able to be vulnerable and talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then it can't run us anymore. Otherwise, that ego, that shame, it runs our life. It makes our decisions, and we're meaning making machines. So something happens, well, we make it mean this. Okay, so let's go back and remake it mean something else. That's really the work, you know. And people think, no, I have to do the outside thing. I need the funnel. No. You really don't, man. That shit's just going to come to you once you align your, and then I studied, you know, a lot about subconscious. Like, how do you impregnate your subconscious? How does that work? So kind of marrying those two things together.
You talk about helping women with the next evolution of themselves. Why particularly that word?
You know, I got into human design in the last year, which I just love. It's very new for me. And I have this, it's really interesting. I have this gate of explosive growth. So that's what happens when people come and work with me. And, you know, many of my clients are millionaires. It's a trip to be on a journey in a career for like 14 years, let's say, over a decade now, and watch my clients as they bust out onto the scene, and now they have their own stages, and they're on national television, and they have their book. What a fucking trip. Open Facebook, it's a trip. And the other gate that I have, or I don't know if it's a gate or a thing, I'm not that versed in human design, but I'm interested in it, is the magic of new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings. And I think my purpose has really been to help women trust the magic of new beginnings, launch a new business, launch a new relationship, exit an old one, get into a new one, and not lose yourself in the process. Mm-hmm. So that it's, you know, the next evolution of you. I think we are all going through a rebirth here on this planet. I mean, holy smokes, what a freaking magic carpet ride. Drop your tits on. Here we go. That's what I mean by next evolution. Mm-hmm.
And for women in particular, there is, you know, there's so much all over social media. I mean, everywhere you look, it talks about the divine feminine coming into your feminine. What do you mean by that? Because I'm laughing in a good way, because I see our energies are very different, similar, but very different. And I love you're just sort of chilled and relaxed and slow when you talk. And I'm just like, she is totally in her feminine here.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, took a lot of work. I did a rad photo shoot this morning. It's actually, you know, part of my new body of work, which is more artistic. And my father was a famous artist, grandfather, his two brothers, like major famous, like National Galleries, National Archives, letters from the Queen of England. Famous artists in Canada. Wow. Simpkin. It's in there, right? It's this artist in me. And so as I've been really tuning into what is the feminine is we're in the body, and releasing all of the old stories and the trauma will put you in touch with your body. You have to go in your body. Mm-hmm. And so when we're in the story or in the mind, there we go. This is just a great way to get out of your body. The story, this happened. It's quiet. So the breath, right? Moving back into the body. How do we connect with our feminine? It's getting back into the body. It's tapping into our sense of pleasure.
How connected do you feel our own ability to feel pleasure from a feminine sexual point of view? How is that connected, correlated with our ability to feel passion and joy and pleasure in life? Can we have the joy and passion, pleasure in life without having that internally for ourselves and with ourselves?
You're only going to see life reflect to you. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for deep connection and to be fully seen and fully met, are you doing that with yourself? Because we get what we are, we don't get what we want. And so I'm still working through my intimacy issues. I feel like I had a major breakthrough here just today, which the process is not backing down, not hiding out, and looking at, you know, what are these limiting beliefs that I have? And then what are the payoffs? If I'm too sexual or too feminine, or if I put myself out there too much, or I show people what I my real deep desires, can I ask for what I want? You know, am I too much? Like all of these stories, what we have, you know, this is how these shadows stay and they run your life, right? Until you can bring them into awareness and consciousness, and then that's it, the shame is gone. What, we move up the vibrational scale. That's why I wanted to. And then as we move through the painful emotions, what I've noticed, if we can just say yes to them and allow them to happen, and they come up and out from our bodies, our willingness to dive into that pain, this whole life experience here on earth is duality. What the fuck? Yeah. Look at how crazy the world is. It's to force us, it's to have this desire to know ourselves as, you know, infinite consciousness. There's no greater force that would have us go inside and know ourselves as God, consciousness, oneness. So that we have duality. And so when a mastery, I believe, is when we can be in the midst of the chaos and the beauty and the craziness and the wars and the pandemics and the and the financial blah blahs and the decentralization and all the governments and rah, 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 and say yes to it. Okay, fine, this is happening. Yes, I feel this way. Yes, and our willingness to dive into that emotional uprooting, as ever uncomfortable as it is. And then once it's done, then we also have access to the opposite emotion on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All the clarity comes in, the joy comes in, the this, the that, you know. So it really is like this gateway, this doorway.
I think a lot of people feel, I'm going to say guilty, to feel joy and pleasure and feel happiness in general anyway, just because our society is not really set up for that. We kind of want people to do well and to be happy. But when we're not, it's kind of like, oh, I don't like you. And even more so when there's so much challenge and trauma going on from a global perspective. But I think, and I'd love to get your take on this, the more people who actually see stuff that, and it's not stuff you, it's stuff the narrative, and actually tap back into the desire, the passion, the joy, the happiness, the abundance, that creates not only an energetic shift in your own body, but the ripple effect is cast out into the collective consciousness and actually does far more good than you feeling, oh, isn't it really terrible? What's happening? Oh, it's just awful. I really feel bad for those people. Do you think people do feel guilty about that? And that's preventing them?
Oh, shit. Yeah, we've been, look at religion. Come on. Imagine you're born in like a super Catholic or Christian family. Oh my God. You know, this pleasure sensuality is like so shamed. You know, we grow up with a lot of shame around our sexuality and, or sometimes even sexual abuse and not, woo. You know, there are so many emotions and blocks that people have around that. You know, one of the things I'm passionate about is, you know, dancing and moving the body and expression and letting it come up and out. You know, this embodiment work is really about, I've always danced. You know, if you talk to some of my good friends, they would call me Louise, you know, my French stripper names, Louise. And I have a few other soul sisters, you know, my two sisters, we all have little French stripper names. And, you know, getting into our bodies, getting into what feels good, getting out of the head, the thinking, getting in touch with our feelings, getting in touch with our body, it has information for us.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you mentioned that, because that's a really safe, easy, in inverted commas, way for you to start to reconnect with yourself in every aspect, not just from a sensual point of view. And to just, and if you feel you need to do it in your kitchen while nobody's watching, fine, start with that. Mm-hmm. And then if you feel more empowered, go and join a group with other women and just allow your body to move as you feel without that, without being inhibited by mm-hmm. what other people think of you.
It can be hard. You know, when I was going through my divorce, I remember thinking to myself, I got to go hire a yoga teacher because I have so much pain in my body. I won't do it. You know, I won't do it by myself. It's too painful. And went and hired this yoga teacher here, Jillian in Mount Shasta. She's rad. She's also a dancer, yoga and dancing salsa. She's like super fun. And anyways, I remember coming back from a yoga class thinking, maybe if I just, you know, died in a car crash, this would be an easy way out of the situation. And then I was like, oh boy, what?
Wow.
Wow. Whoa, wait a minute, baby. We got to do something different here. Mm-hmm. And so through this whole healing process, I spent every morning, you know, it was like, no, I'm not going to work and I'm not going to go to the sales meeting and I'm not going to run the sales meeting for the sales team and meet the manager, you know, the business managers and everybody needs, no, Vanessa is going to go dance in the fucking kitchen for an hour. That's how I start my day. So not abandoning myself for the need, but all these clients and they get such great results. And okay, calm down. So if I'm not around here, y'all screwed. So you got to put yourself first. And I think we are human beings. So it usually takes freaking wake up call, unfortunately. And I don't like an illness or a separation or a divorce, or I don't want to have people have these massive wake up calls. You know, if we can share and have conversations like these powerful conversations and shed some light on these issues, mm-hmm. I think it leads people to not have to get such a big wake up call. Mm-hmm. Because we're creatures of habit, right? We want to be comfortable. Yeah.
We don't pay attention to the signs. We're not interested in listening to the wee nudges.
Yeah.
I love that you talk about the keys to conscious creation. What do you mean by that?
Well, we're either, you know, led by our past. So the mind is a recording and a playback device. Mm-hmm. It records what happens, it makes it mean something, and then it plays it back. The old story, the things that you're afraid of, that's what you're creating. And so uncovering, you know, those old stories, where the resistance is, where that ego is driving your train, and learning how to take your power back from it, re-identify as beingness, limitless potential, and then tell that fucking ego, go sit in the trunk, get back there. You're not allowed to touch the steering wheel. You're not allowed to even touch the radio. You're not allowed to sit in the passenger seat. You can sit in the trunk, in the back seat, and wave at people as I go forward. Got it? You can come on the ride. You can come for the ride because fear's coming with you. Mm-hmm. Okay. But can we be present? Can we be present with that? It's okay. I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show up anyways. So sometimes intimacy is for me, wow, that's been such an interesting journey. Terrified, like, mm-hmm. Ooh, let me just hide. Yee, ooh, ooh, don't look at me. Yee. Mm-hmm. You know, so facing our fears. So conscious creating is recognizing that there's a pattern. This is happening again and again. And eventually we become more afraid of things staying the same than we are of the unknown. Mm-hmm. And we decide to do something about it. Like actually show the fuck up. invest in yourself, you know? So the other day I actually called my partner a coward. I totally projected onto him. I was like, hey, you're a coward, making me sick. You know, I was like, oh shit. And oh, Vanessa, where are you a coward in your life? You know, you say you want to have children, you know, stop smoking your vape pen. Oh, the vape pen has been a real convenient crutch during this pandemic and a divorce. Yeah, but oh, my life has been so hard. Oh, I had to do this and do that. Shut up. You know, where are you being a coward? What are you not making plans for? Where you need to show up. And 90% of success, I've said this for years, is showing up. Spiritual people, I'm very spiritual. What I don't like about this whole like, oh my God, it's a sign if it's hard. No, it's a sign that you have resistance. Okay. And you got like maybe an ego that's really, I got a huge ego, huge. Oh my God. So that's been, I think, one of my greatest lessons in what I teach. You know, we all teach what we need to learn the most. Mm-hmm. So showing up regardless and not allowing the old stories to dictate your life, right? Finding the courage to be in that unknown. And that's terrifying for human beings.
Mm-hmm. But it's actually when you think about how we live, and we live, as you say, in our past experiences, and they inform every single thing that happens to us, which is utterly ridiculous when you think about it, because we have come so far from something that happened 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15, 20, whatever. We have evolved, you know, we have learned, we have changed, we've transformed. So it seems crazy to respond to a current situation based on something that happened to you 10, 20, 50 years ago. So I love the analogy of the tape recorder and the ego in the trunk.
You know, we don't know. No one teaches really cool shit in school. I mean, I'm sorry. Maybe they're starting to teach meditation, yoga now to kids, which is so rad. But I mean, they certainly didn't have that when I was in school.
No, nothing that you're ever going to use.
No, they don't teach you how to become a conscious creator. So Our minds are also like an oven. So the oven doesn't care what you put into it. If you put in, I'm only worth this much joy, I'm only allowed to have that much pleasure, I'm only worth 50 grand a year or whatever, that's what the oven is going to bake out. Our subconscious mind doesn't care what you put in it. It just cooks it out onto the, you know, this is a law, like a law of gravity. If you jump off the roof, you're going down, man. Like, I don't give a shit what color you are. You know, your dog jumps off the roof, I'm going down, gravity. We breathe oxygen here on planet Earth. So it's the same thing with our subconscious. What is impressed must express. And so I became obsessed with like, how do you get in there and change it? Well, first I had to learn how to open up the oven door and see what the heck is in my oven. And then take it out and put something new in, impregnate the subconscious mind. And the subconscious is impregnated with repetition, visualization, and feeling. So we can live an unconscious life. And that's why I say, you know, having a business or having a relationship, you want to wake up, you want to become conscious. That's where we see ourselves. That's where we see our edges, our projections, our triggers. And can we learn the tools to, you know, revamp those or to speak our truth with love and heal, grow, become whole, become conscious? That's kind of the trip I've been on for a while.
When you are on autopilot and you're kind of on the hamster wheel of life and you know change is coming and change is going to have to take place, but you've spent so long on this hamster wheel that you're almost cut off from possibility, from desire, from potential, from purpose. How do you start to access that, because I totally agree with you. The minute you know what it is that you desire, you can manifest it. But oftentimes, I think a lot of people don't actually know what it is they want because they've been on a path that's been set for them by parents, peers, society. And they wake up in their 30s, 40s, 50s and go, what the hell is going on? And this is just not working. And yeah. It can seem like such a massive leap, chasm, space to move from where you're at this point to this. There is a knowing, but the knowing is blind. There's nothing there. There's nothing to guide you towards what it is other than this desire that change needs to happen. So how can we move more towards opening up to desire, I guess, to understanding what we are here for, what potential we're capable of?
Well, the first thing I would say is go have an orgasm. That's Monday morning starts for me with an orgasm. You start with a fucking sales meeting. You know, and then the other thing I would do is, well, you know, hire a mentor, get some help, learn about going inside and rescuing that, you know, inner child that has been abandoned. Because when you were a kid, you did all kinds of fun things. You chased frogs, you danced, you colored. And so going inside, learning those skills, you're never going to do it on your own. Number one, because you have an ego, resistance is going to take you out. Oh, no. It doesn't want you to take it apart. It's like a computer. When you go to delete, computer's like, are you sure you want to delete this? You're like, yes, fuck delete, get out of here. It's a protective mechanism to protect us from failure and pain and to the ego and failure is like death. So you're never going to see your own blind spots, right, by yourself, which is why there's so many mentors and coaches out there in the world. And tapping back into what you used to love to do as a child. Like, what was that for you? Was it art? Was it music? Was it animals? You know, I had a ton of animals. I had 18 freaking rabbits when I was a kid. I had lots of animals. I got six I got six chickens in the backyard.
Yeah. Dogs, we had foxes, pigeons, ducks, dogs, horses.
Yeah. I had a horse when I was a teenager. Yeah. So it's like getting back in touch with, you know, you think the career success is going to fulfill you, but understanding also your values, you know, like everybody has different values and needs of the personality. Everybody needs to feel significance. We have a need for it, but we get to choose, you know, where that significance comes from. Does it come from a career? Does it come from family? Does it come from contribution? Does it come from God connection? Like where do you fill that significance cup?
Can I just interject, because that's a really interesting point. How do you know whether the sense of significance is coming from the ego or it's coming from something deeper, something more spiritual?
Well, we all have, that kind of runs, it changes. My values changed. So that kind of whoop went from career to relationships to family. That was a big boof. It was a big change in my values. How do we know if it's driven? Well, we look at your relationships and you see, you know, are your relationships reflecting wholeness and peace? Or do you have chaos that run your life and, you know, drama everywhere? We also have a need. This was interesting when I learned this. We also have a need for drama, not adventure. Okay. Let's call it adventure. Uncertainty. We have a need for certainty, but also uncertainty. And to have that in my relationship. And I learned, no, I can have uncertainty by going, I can go skiing. You know what I mean? Like I can go have an adventure. I can go for a hike. I don't need to have that. I want harmony in my life, you know, harmony in my home, harmony in my relationship. And there's the love train, but you can hear it honking. And it comes from wholeness, from not seeking outside the self. This person has to nourish me and this person has to love me and this person has to do that and this person needs to do that. No, you need to do that for you. You know, then you can come into this place of more being loving without needing that thing out there. So how do we know if the significance is coming from ego versus from beingness would be, well, measure your life. How, you know, are you happy? Are you fulfilled? Are you, you know, if not, why not? And how are your relationships? What happens in trauma bond relationships is both people abandon the self in order to get love outside the self. and it is a disaster. It forms from attachment wounds. It's like two pieces of a puzzle that click, missing that piece. Oh yeah, I'm going to mirror that one. And you know, this like, it becomes a push-pull war. So look at your relationships. Mm-hmm. That's going to tell you if, you know, I hung on, you know, if I talk about my own personal story, I got a lot of my significance from my career. I got a lot of it. Wow. Can I make $100,000 a month? Fuck. Can I make $200,000 a month? What about 300? Check the box. Okay. 400. And it became this like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to make $1 million a month. I'm like, wait a minute. Who the fuck needs $1 million a month? Are you happy being mm-hmm. so stressed out? Mm-hmm. No.
So many people connect their career, their job. It's basically their identity.
It's an identity. That's exactly what it is. And then you come in and you obliterate that identity.
It's awful. I've done it.
Oh, strap your tits on for that journey, man. And a lot of people are going through this right
now
because
of the
pandemic, changed their career. They're working from home or they're getting a new job or a lot of relationships dissolving. A lot of people, should I stay? Should I go? Mm-hmm. A lot of things happening. That change of identity, you nailed it right there.
With everything that you've been through and this, you know, I'm going to put you under the microscope. What has been the biggest transformation or the best lesson that you have learned on your journey?
I think one of the biggest lessons has been learning about trauma. You know, I used to judge these narcissists are like this and they're going to take your power. No, a narcissist is just the same as a codependent. They just have a different solution to a wound, a trauma. And this is really, it's so powerful because when you can be present for that wounded inner part of you and find wholeness, then you can see your own children. You can be present for them and stop this pattern of, you know, unconscious trauma. That's, you know, why do you think there goes addiction, there goes suicide, you know, there goes violence. I mean, this is where it really all comes from. And in the last 2 years, that's really been for me the biggest magic carpet ride. Man, holy smokes. Magic carpet ride for life is doing the inner work and the shadows and showing up and learning how to reparent myself and become whole and then lose my whole identity and trade it in for something that's way more juicier and fun and worth it. Terrifying, hard. Don't try this at home by yourself, you know, hire a mentor, get help, you know, the process of like taking your power back now, overcoming fear, thriving, the next evolution of you, birthing, all worth it.
I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. And if you'd like to connect with me, then head over to my website, vickipaul.com, or you can find me on Instagram at Vicky J. Paul. Why not take advantage of a special subscriber-only 10% discount off my personalised soul portraits? All you need to do is get in touch using the promo code PODCAST21. That's PODCAST21. And don't forget, you can buy my book, How to Be Successful, available anywhere that you buy books, or you can also get it via the link in the show notes. Make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And please continue to share this podcast with anyone you think might find it useful. I'd also really love if you could write a review because that helps myself and my guests get discovered by more kindred spirits. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.